Hello, and welcome to the Blind Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Tiresias. You know, I spent most of my adult life working in the queer press at local gay rags. I am the liberal media. I really have come to think of my hometown as the city by the pestilent sea. I mean, have you smelled the Great Salt Lake lately? I've had enough of these bitter barstool queens who do nothing but complain and bitch. Just skip the night of drinking and drag your alcoholic ass down to your local community center to volunteer for a night. I'm becoming more and more convinced that I don't belong in Utah. I mean, I'll just never fit in. I'm proud to be gay. I'm also proud to be a feminist, an activist, environmentalist, a pagan, a Unitarian Universalist. Is there anything less attractive on a gay man than the Mormon Temple Mormons? So why is it that the only guys who are interested in being gay by the church to let me are strippers and trolls? So what from a 28-year-old gay man still living as an Unitarian Universalist and an ex-Mormon? I am the liberal media. So this year I've been contracted to plan and produce the Utah Pride Festival. For those of you who don't live in Utah, that's Salt Lake City's Gay Pride event. It's happening on June 1st through 4th this year, and it's going to be lots of fun. Last year I helped out as logistics coordinator, and this year they asked me to come on and run the entire event. I've been with Pride committees in various capacities since 1997, when I joined the Reno Pride Planning Board for their very first ever Gay Pride celebration. I was the volunteer coordinator and helped out with the entertainment there. Then I moved to Las Vegas, and I got involved with the Southern Nevada Association of Pride, Inc., SNAPPY, in producing Las Vegas Pride, where I did everything from be the recording secretary for the board to the parliamentarian, worked on logistics, worked on volunteers, worked on the parade, just about every role you can imagine. My favorite area to work on, though, is in marketing. Having a journalist background as my career for many years, it was always fun to me to be on the other side of the coin from the media perspective, to be the one who's promoting the story and trying to get people to pick it up and pay attention. Utah Pride is kind of an interesting experience. For those of you who've never been, which I assume is probably most people who are hearing this, it's much larger than you would expect. I know everybody thinks Utah's this, you know, red state, all Mormon-dominated, very, very conservative. And while that's true, it's not so much true in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City is a metropolitan city, or getting close to being a metropolitan city, I guess I should say, that very diverse. You know, less than 50% of the population of Salt Lake City is LDS, Latter-day Saints, Mormons. We actually have a very big Pride Festival. It's 15 to 20,000 people attend, which is three times the size of Las Vegas Pride, if you're comparing, but nowhere near the size of San Francisco, clearly. But it's a great event. We have 4 days' worth of activities, including our film festival. We have a reception for our Grand Marshal and other community award winners. There's the Dyke March that takes place on Saturday. The Pride Interfaith Service, which takes place different days each year. This year it'll be happening on Saturday. We have a dance the night before the parade and festival, and then of course we have the parade and the festival. And this year we're also teaming up with the local theater company to put on a play about queer youth, a locally written play based on the experiences of actual queer youth who live in Salt Lake City. I first got involved with Pride because back when I was just right out of the closet, I came out in 96-ish. Following summer, I was at a cousin's wedding in Salt Lake. This was when I was going to college in Reno. And I'd come back to Salt Lake for the weekend to go to my cousin's wedding. It was the first time I'd been around the extended family where they all knew that I was gay. In fact, when I showed up, I didn't know that they all knew. I thought my family, my mother and father, had kept it more secret than that. But by the time I got there, everybody knew. It was this big thing, and everybody had to come tell me what they thought and express their concerns and feelings about the whole subject. Anyway, so I went through this weekend where really too much time was spent talking about my sexuality in a bad kind of way. Not overly mean or harsh, just I had to spend a lot of time defending myself, which, you know, isn't very good for the soul when you have to do that all the time. Anyway, I happened to get back into town on a Saturday evening, and I was flipping through one of the gay magazines, Out or Advocate or something like that. And we saw a listing that San Francisco Pride was taking place that same weekend. And I was living with my roommate, Mandy, who was a lesbian, and her girlfriend, Erica, was spending the summer in San Francisco doing a actor's training program. So Mandy and I were talking about it, and our friend Linnea, who was also a lesbian, happened to be over there. And we were talking about it, and we mentioned, oh, look, tomorrow is the San Francisco Pride Parade. Well, you know, Mandy, because she already had a girlfriend over there, piped up with, well, let's go. And, you know, we kind of looked at each other like, really? I mean, Reno's not that far from San Francisco, but it's still, you know, 3 to 5 hour drive, depending on if you care about the speed limit at all. Anyway, so, you know, after a bit of kind of saying, are we serious about this? Do we really want to do this? We end up jumping in the car and driving overnight into the city. And it was the first time I'd been to San Francisco in a while. I went right after my senior year in high school on a big family vacation, but hadn't really gone over there since I'd come out of the closet at all. So it was kind of an exciting thing for me anyway. So we got to San Francisco at about, I don't know, 5 in the morning or so, 4 in the morning, and Erica was staying on Nob Hill for her summer program. So we, you know, spent an hour probably looking for parking that we could get anywhere near where she was living. So we all headed up to her apartment and crashed in her little closet of a room, the three of us plus Erica, so 4 altogether, and really just got a few hours of sleep, not much sleep at all, before, you know, the sun was up and Erica was waking us up saying, it's time to go, we're going to miss the parade, we're going to miss the parade. So, you know, we're all bleary-eyed and exhausted. Anyway, so we got up and we headed down to the parade, and we ended up actually right near the end of the parade, at the bottom of Market Street, because it seemed to be the spot where we could get through the crowd and actually see what was happening. And it was just an amazing experience. You know, if you've never been to a Pride event before, which I hadn't, and you've never been out of, or you haven't even been out of the closet all that long, to suddenly find yourself amongst so very, very many gay people, it was certainly a life-changing moment for me. Let me know in no uncertain way that I was not alone, that I was not, you know, the only one or one of just a few. Reno isn't exactly a small town. They call it the biggest little city in the world, but you know, there weren't all that many gay people, even for a theater major like me. There weren't all that many gay people in the city to interact with. So, you know, I knew that there were other gay people out there. I'd met a few of them, kind of sort of dated at least one of them, but, you know, I'd spent a lot of time thinking that we really weren't that many, that we were kind of a small group. But, you know, being at the San Francisco Pride Parade convinced me that, no, in fact, we are mighty. We have many gay people in our lives, in the world, that there are many of us, and that if we were ever to come together, we would be an unstoppable force if we ever came together around the same issue, the same cause, and really fought for it, really, truly, you know, lifted our voices together and fought for it. So anyway, you know, we spent the day watching the parade. At the end of the parade, we wandered down to the wharf area, where they were, you know, again, just a sea of gay people, and, you know, gay-friendly people, straight allies. And, you know, it was just really quite amazing, and we really had a great time. We ended up, we didn't go out that night. We talked about it, but we decided we would just get something to eat and then, you know, get a few hours of sleep, because I was in summer school at the time, and Linnea was working a full-time job, of course. Mandy had a part-time job, and so she didn't need to be back in Reno, but the other two of us did. So, you know, we spent the night at, you know, once again crashed in Erica's little closet of a room, and drove back really early the next morning. We got up at like, oh, I guess three or four, and headed back, racing the sunrise, because my first class was at 7 a.m. So, you know, we made it back barely in time, but it was just really quite an amazing experience, and one of those impulsive things that I never would have seen myself doing, but we did it. And, you know, I got back to Reno and started asking around, to find out why Reno didn't have a pride, and rather quickly discovered that, in fact, there was a group of community members looking to start one this summer. In fact, they were going to do one in August. And so I immediately tracked down a flyer at one of the bars, which I was too young to get into legally, but you know that never stops anyone. So anyway, I tracked down a flyer and contacted Kay Crawford, who was trying to put this together, and told her I'd like to volunteer to help out, and started showing up at meetings and helped out with the entertainment, helped track down some bands, and we had this great reggae band who played. I also brought in a comedian from San Francisco who tanked. It was awful. But, it was a lot of fun, and, I was also in charge of the volunteer coordination, so on the day of the festival, I spent a lot of time pointing volunteers to different areas where we needed help, that sort of stuff. And really just kind of, that was my first real taste of queer activism, and kind of couldn't stop me from that point on. I've been on and off involved with Pride now just shy of 10 years, and really can't foresee a time when I won't be involved in some way. Even though this is my last year in Utah, and I plan to move to San Francisco in June, which is, now that I think about it, kind of fitting. That's kind of where my story started when it comes to queer activism. Anyway, I still can't foresee a time when I won't be involved. I'll probably, get to San Francisco and find a way to get involved in their pride, and maybe not in a big role, maybe something smaller, because I'm a little burnt out on the whole experience, but it would be nice to keep going with that, especially in the place where, really, for me, the whole story started. Well, that's about all I have time for tonight, but I hope you'll come back and listen again. Next time I'll be talking more specifically about Utah Pride and what's coming up this year. If you're interested in the meantime in finding out more, log on to www.utahpride.org. Don't forget the festival is coming up June 1st through 4th, so if you're in or planning to be around the Salt Lake area, come by and join us. In the meantime, you can also check out my blog, Tiresias, that's T-Y-R-E-S-E-U-S, .livejournal.com. This has been the Blind Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Tiresias, wishing you the best of luck and happy days.